Welcome again to the service. We're hoping to have a bit of fun, a bit of relaxation today, and to enjoy God's presence. So this service is so we can realise that the tiny bit, the little bit that we think we have, can be multiplied incredibly for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. And an interesting comment, do we believe that more can come from less? Do we really believe that more can come from less? So, now we're going to get on with some prayer. Andy is going to come and pray for us, pray with us, whatever he wants to pray. And during the service, we're hoping that Andy may actually intervene at some point and bring something, because it's great when he does that, isn't it? And we have something really fresh from Andy. And if anybody else would like to contribute during the service at any time, then feel free to just do so. So, over to you, Andy.
Thank you, Steve. This is the last of our sort of summer services led by home groups, and they've been so lovely. They've been all so different, and today looks very different too. So thank you so much. And actually, I think that's part of the answer to your what you're saying, does the part that we play, and it's been so lovely that different people have had an opportunity to bring these services together. So it's really good. Shall we pray? Let's remember, let's just remind ourselves that the Lord is here. He comes with us, he dwells in us by his Spirit, but he also fills this space in a special way when his people come together. So the Lord is here. Isn't that wonderful? His Spirit is with us. His Spirit is here to encourage and to bless, perhaps to challenge. His Spirit is here to speak God's word to us, to bring life, to open our eyes, to open our ears. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that we don't come to just to mortar and brick. Lord, we thank you that we don't come into a vacuum. Sometimes a place with a carpet, sometimes without a carpet. Lord, we thank you that we can come into this place, but we thank you more than that, that it's a place that you fill and you presence yourself. Because it is a place where your people gather. And Lord, we're thrilled by that sense of amazement that you, the Holy God, dwell amongst your people. And we pray today, don't we, brothers and sisters, that the Lord, who is present with us by his Spirit, will manifest himself amongst us. Will not just be here in theory, but will touch our lives tangibly. That we may go from this place later saying, we've met with the Lord and we've been changed. Amen? So Lord, we welcome you as you welcome us. We know that you have formed us into the body of Christ, and you're going to speak to us today about that and other things that are on your heart. So Lord Jesus, Lord Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we welcome you, indeed as you welcome us. Please bless this time together that we have. And speak to us and move amongst us by your Spirit. For we are glad to be here, and we come, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We come in his name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Andy, for that. And what Andy hasn't told you is that we've got the new carpet down. What we're actually going for is a 1960s retro factory look.
Yeah.
So, the gospel is good news. Anyone can have access to the Father through Jesus, and no one can take access to the Father away from you. Are you in the kingdom of God? Are you in the kingdom of God? Jesus said, unless you become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless we become like little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. Not the foolishness, but the awe and wonder and simplicity of each day, the adventure and excitement of the day. What will unfold? No status. They don't understand status. They're not looking for it. No hierarchies. Children also like food and need it very regularly. So we're hoping you're going to enjoy the St. Morning service as children expect to enjoy their day when they wake up. You see grandchildren, the first thing they have in their mind is, what does the day have? Wow, fantastic. So after Eileen has read from the book of Matthew, Tim's going to come up and lead us on a journey around the British Isles, just to get us in the mood.
The reading from Matthew 18, verses 2 and 3. He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
I had absolutely no idea what was in his mind when he said, will you do this? So I spent several hours researching accents, language, culture, and I learned some amazing facts, some of which will come out, not very much, but I've had a long conversation about syntax and root with Jeffrey this morning about whether we're a Germanic language or whether we're a Romantic language. There's even a theory that English is a Creole language. But I'm not going to go into any of that either. So I sat down last night, having come back from a very nice birthday party, and wrote a poem. And so please bear with me. What are you doing, you may be asking? A question that I may well be sharing. Who knows what Steve has in his head? Make them laugh, was all he said. So join me as I tour the nation. This might be a real sensation. From south to north, we'll all travel. And varied accents I hope to unravel. In the hallowed south, we're all quite posh, where nasty words are golly gosh. This is called received pronunciation, and finding something to rhyme with that was absolutely impossible. Just 3% of us speak like this, while others give us a boo and hiss. For local accents, telling all exactly from whence they call. As one moves east, the tone goes down. From Bow Bells to Canning Town. The moniker is Cockney, see? Water, matter, nutter, mother, free. Down the Thames they speak like this. To Kent and Essex, oh such bliss. Then up to Fenland we do go. It's flat and boggy, don't you know? One joint leap from east to west finds us where pasties are the best. And cider, tractors, and similar with straws to suck and rolling R's. So up we go to Midlands Way where Brummies live. Is that okay? It's here that vowels start to go all flat. Castle, bucket, mug, and take a bath. Up some more to Lancs and Yorks, where bits go missing in all their talks. They go up to pub and down to shops, and Geoffrey go boycott still his tops. Near the town, leave Geordies, don't you know? Don't frown, they weren't named after Nuky Brown. Instead, the name was handed them when they fought for the Hanoverians. Now, I'll have to add there that they actually supported those who opposed the Jacobeans, which were the Hanoverians. That was confusing. Now we go across the border, enter Scotland and Harry Lauder. Edinburgh is in the east, where accents don't mind them the least. Affy refined they are down there. They speak most clearly all the year, except perhaps at Hogmanay, but no one cares then anyway. In the west is Glasgow Toon, where Irish who swim have settled doon. It's fit by there, a spot of kings, Rangers and Celtic and such things. Up to Perth and Highland Games, where you know the clans from all the names, the accent here is more poetic, as a slower life is less than hectic. Down the west we find a port called Liverpool, with Scousies taught. Here the Beatles came to fame, if one had to name a name. Their accent has an Irish base. Across the sea we must race. To Northern Ireland, so it is. They support the Union, so it is. But further south in Dublin town, the accent here is rather round, spoken by poets and such folk. Many even become the butts of jokes. Back across the Irish Sea, to Wales now, look you, see. In the north it's soft and breathy, with hills of sheep and smelly wellies. Down in the south we find Cardiff City. The accent here is hard and gritty. It can be such that makes you think that the inhabitants have all turned to drink. So there we have it, my dear friends, a tour of Britain from end to end. One language, yes, most certainly, but different expressions, most definitely.
Tim. I tell all my American friends I don't have an accent. Two readings from Mark's Gospel. The first one is Mark 6, verse 30 to 44, and the second one is Mark 8, verses 1 to 9. Feeding of the 5,000. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while, for many people were coming and going. They did not even have time to eat. So they went away in the boat by themselves to a remote place. But many saw them leaving and recognized them, and they ran on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and had compassion on them because they were all like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples approached him and said, 'This place is deserted and it is already late. Send them away so that they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat.' 'You give them something to eat,' he responded. They said to him, 'Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?' He asked them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he instructed them all to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. He kept giving them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Everyone ate and was satisfied. They picked up 12 baskets full of pieces of bread and fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were 5,000 men." And then verse, feeding the 4,000, chapter 8. "In those days there was again a large crowd, and they had nothing to eat. He called the disciples and said to them, 'I have compassion on the crowd because they've already stayed with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, and some of them have come a long distance.' His disciples answered him, 'Where can anyone get enough bread here in this desolate place to feed these people?' 'How many loaves do you have?' he asked them. 7, they said. He commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground. Taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. So they served them to the crowd. They also had a few small fish. And after he had blessed them, he said these were to be served as well. They ate and were satisfied. Then they collected 7 large baskets of leftover pieces. About 4,000 were there. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it's great to have people amongst us who can make us laugh, isn't it? Thank you, Tim. That was great. And think of all those people that Tim has described all around the nation, all growing up as little children. They're little children, they grow up and they take on these accents and these behaviours. This is the theme, really, of today. It's a lot about children, really, and our place in that kind of construct. So the slide, interesting, isn't it? So can Jesus create more from less? That's what we're looking at. And so the slide shows us that we've got 5,000 people, 5 loaves and 2 fish, feeding 5,000. And then we've got 4,000 people that actually need more. They've actually got 7 loaves and a few small fish. It's taking more from less. Do we all get that? Yeah. And so we can see that the final end product is that the 5,000, they've got 12 baskets over from just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And actually, the 4,000 from 7 loaves and a few small fish have actually got less baskets over. So this dynamic of God being able to create more from less, it's an incredible principle in life. And interestingly, before the miracle took place, the disciples had asked Jesus, how are we going to feed them? And Jesus presumably looked at them and he said, well, you do it. You feed them, guys. And they would look back at him and I guess were sort of incredulous. And then what did they say? The scriptures said, we can't. We can't. I mean, can you imagine the scenario? They've got all these people baying for food. You know, we know what it's like when a bloke hasn't had his supper, don't we? Or his dinner or whatever. So you've got all these people, and Jesus is basically probably fairly relaxed about it all because he knows what's coming. And he says, can you do it? So in a sense, it's rather foolish for us to think we can somehow get a construct that does God. I mean, it's ludicrous, isn't it? We've got God created the universe, keeping our lives. Every breath we're taking this morning is a gift from God. It's just ludicrous to think we can construct something that manifests God amongst us. Fantastic prayer, Andy, this morning. Asking for God's presence is what we desire. The reality of God's presence. So if you haven't got much, this is no problem to Jesus. And in fact, it may be a hindrance if we've got too much. But before Will and Bill come to talk to us, we're just going to briefly, for 1 minute, just say hello to each other. Very briefly, because we've got to catch up on a few minutes here. We're lagging. So 1 minute, just chat. Is that right?
Right, you said your hellos. Right, going back a few weeks, Steve came to me and said the house group is doing the service. And God's given me this idea that the theme should be less is more. And he said, would you mind blithering on for about 5 minutes about less is more? I thought, I can do that. How hard can it be? Then it went to the back of my mind. On Friday, his wife and my wife came to my place of work and made a nuisance of themselves. They told one of my clients I should be slapped. And suddenly, cripes, I'd better prepare something for this. So on a Saturday morning, I tend to get up really early and go for quite a lengthy run. And on the way back, I find a little spot in the woods somewhere and have a quiet time. Might sound a bit weird, but it works for me. So Saturday morning, I was sitting down. Sometimes I sit down and pray. Sometimes I just meditate. But this time I asked God what I should say. And God seemed to be saying to me, well, at the moment, you're sort of thinking about Jesus. And what does Jesus mean to you? Is Jesus an object of worship or is he a lifestyle choice? To me, I am the truth, the way and the life, is clearly says he should be a lifestyle choice, but he's also worthy of worship. So I got out my phone and I started typing a few things out. And well, I only printed this off this morning. If it's a load of disjointed nonsense, I do apologise. but I've only got 4 minutes, and it's in quite big letters, because I'm in denial that I need reading glasses. Right, we live in an age of plenty. We've got so much stuff, but is it making us happy and fulfilled? If anything, it may distract us from real issues in society and in our own lives. Maybe consuming less would be better for us and for creation. Debbie and I have just had a session of clearing all our clutter out. In our bedroom, we've got this dirty, great big pine wardrobe. When the kids were young, they used to play Narnia in it. But it is absolutely bursting to the seams with clothes. We had far more clothes than we needed. So we decided, let's have a good throw out. I'm a sad man that tends to run a lot of marathons. And when you run a marathon, you get a T-shirt at the end. And I had nearly 100 T-shirts. And some of them I hadn't worn in years. And some were quite manky. So I've now got 6. And, you know, it's really great clearing out our clothes and giving them to charity shops, and the disgusting ones went in the bin. The clothing industry is actually one of the world's biggest polluters, and it seriously exploits people living in poverty. So maybe do we need so many clothes? Maybe we should think about buying recycled clothes from charity shops. Another thought is just about every adult in Sea Green owns a car. We tend to use them even for the shortest journeys. My office is exactly 12 miles from my house. I can run that in an hour and a half. I could cycle it in less than an hour. But just about every day I take my car. Surely it would be better for me and for the environment if I was to go under my own steam occasionally. I am really, really lucky to be involved in aid work with some of the world's poorest people. Often these people go to bed without enough to eat. But look at our supermarkets. We can have pretty much what we fancy to eat and as much of it as we want. Do we consider what we're eating is having, what impact is having on the environment? We're much more likely to die because we eat too much, die early because we eat too much and we don't eat enough. Another thing is technology. Technology has seriously impacted our lives. We've got 3/4 of our grandchildren live in Chicago, so it's really great to see them on FaceTime, and it's a real joy to get lots of texts from Izzy, our oldest grandson. But is technology stressing us out and distracting us from what really matters? Another thing is, do we take on too many tasks? I often feel like I'm running around like a headless chicken, doing nothing properly. At the moment, I've got a really big project on. I'm going to Uganda in 6 weeks, and I need to be putting in over 100 hours in my spare time to make up the glasses. So I've pretty much cut out everything unnecessary in my life. Now, I really don't need to be watching rubbish series on Netflix. I don't need to be listening to theology podcasts that just end up confusing me and making me unsure what I believe. I don't need to go to the gym. There's nothing sadder than a 60-year-old with a six-pack. But it's been really liberating cutting these things out of my life and concentrating on what's important. So in summary, could reducing stuff, responsibility and pointless habits lead to a better quality of life? It may just energise us, de-stress us and give us time to do things that really matter. I'm now going to hand over to the other William. That will no doubt talk much more sense than I do.
I don't know how I'm supposed to follow those two. Steve also, when he asked me, I said, oh, it'll be no problem to think with this, and I was looking for inspiration for weeks and weeks and nothing came. So last night I sat down and forced myself to think and do some, and it's definitely less from more, I think. We've been asked to think of cases when you can get more from less. And personally, I've noticed that the more I pass comments on my wife's cooking, the less food I get. But the more I do as I'm told, the less of a hard time I get. But I don't think that's quite what Steve meant. So thinking the Bible, there's loads of examples of more coming from less. Not all good things. Some of them were bad, like the time the Israelites had to make more bricks from less materials. They weren't given any straw and they were still expected to produce the same number of bricks. So they had more work to do with less equipment. There's lots of good things. When Gideon was fighting against the Midianites, he had an army of 32,000 men, but the Lord would only allow him to take 300 to fight against them. And he did. And the Midianites ended up fighting themselves and killing themselves, and they won the battle. When the prodigal son had squandered all the money his father had given him, he returned home expecting very little. But his father couldn't do enough for him, gave him a great feast for all the neighbours to celebrate his safe return. As Steve has already mentioned and Debbie read, the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, they had more left after the meal than they started with. Sometimes when we have a bring and share lunch here at the church, it's the same. There's always piles of food left and nobody ever goes away from here hungry. We're so fortunate in this church to have people who care less for themselves and much more for the less fortunate in the world. They provide water for the thirsty, sight for the visually impaired, AIDS for those suffering from the results of HIV, looking after children in this country and abroad, translating the Bible into languages that enable native people to hear of the love of Jesus in their own tongue, providing help and care for the elderly in the community, caring for the homeless in this country and many other areas of care. Some provide help by supporting others with their prayers and by financial support for all sorts of things. Some have the gift of healing, as I've been very happy to have benefited from. Thanks to them, I'm lucky enough still to be involved with the youth clubs and open the book. So I don't remember what I was going to say next. I must have another page somewhere. Here we go. I keep trying to claim that I'm too old to be of any help to anybody, as I'm able to do less. But old Howard shames me by accusing me of being a young man and I should be doing much more. The numbers attending the church seem to go up and down, but the one thing I'm sure of is that whether there are more of us or less of us, the Lord will provide for us. Thank you.
Well, isn't it fantastic? We've been able to listen to so many different people saying wonderful things. Are we okay? Oh, yeah, yeah. Isn't it great? Lots of different people sharing different things. But we've got to that stage in the service, haven't we? I don't know, it's 11:10. Is anybody like me just feeling just a tiny bit peckish?
Yeah.
You know, we've been here for a while and it's just, you know... And so I've got a few things here, and I don't know how you feel about it, but yeah, I just thought I'd have a little look at what I've got. I've got in here, I've got some icing sugar by Sainsbury's. Okay, so is that going to help? Would you like a taste of it? Do you think is that going to help your peckishness?
No. No.
Oh, honestly, for goodness sake. What else? Oh, everyday essentials. Salted butter. Anybody, Debbie, fancy you're going to have a little bit of that? Well, maybe not. What have I got? We got something a bit bigger this time. So, Sainsbury's Basics. We're not proud, are we, Steve? Sainsbury's Basics, nothing wrong with that. Marion, would you like... No, they're not. It's a shame, isn't it? But this is what I've got. I've got that. I've got caster sugar. Got this. What's this? Oh, yeah, vanilla essence. Bit of vanilla essence. And finally in here that might help my hunger, I've got... got a couple of more. I have. This is what I've got, but I'm hungry. But look, I wonder what this could be. What could it be? I don't know. Let's look. Oh, heavens! It's a cooker. What could be in it, I wonder? Shall we look? Oh! Wow, look at that.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Oh, marvellous. It's a miracle. But actually, the question I've been asking myself for this little while is, you know, can God take my Sainsbury's basics of my life and can he make something amazing that we can all share together? And will other people see that it's a miracle and give glory to God? Because it is a miracle, isn't it? So there you go. Okay, Howard, I think you're going to pray for us.
Together.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for all that you've done in our lives. You've shown us that small, with your power, and our faith may become large. You taught, you showed, as we've heard today, in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how you fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Then again, you fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves and a few fishes. We have seen how great trees can grow from a mustard seed. You have shown us that in your strength, not in our strength, we can do much more than we could ever dare to imagine possible. We pray and we ask that in with your strength and your guidance, we may make this small, tiny church here in Seagreen larger than anybody could dare to imagine. So large that the church grounds that it stands on would not be large enough to contain the number of people who wish to come here to pray, to worship and honor you. Lord, I dream of a church, this church, where the ground floor is just one enormous sanctuary to hold 1,000 people, where we'll have to build upwards to contain the various other things that church needs. I dream of a village where every person in that village is a Christian. Lord, give us the strength. May the little Holy Spirit guide us. Although many of us are old and weak, Lord, with your strength, we can do great things. Small can become large. Amen.
Right. moment. I've just been asked to close in prayer. So let's have those goodie bags. If you haven't got a goodie bag in your hand, will you grab a goodie bag? So just open it a little bit and just hold it in your hands. I don't know about you, I've been absolutely blown away by this morning. What a blessed time. What a lovely time. My word. So much. So rich. I was deeply encouraged by what Will said about there being nothing good about a 60-year-old with a six-pack. I was just about to join a gym. I'm not going to bother anymore. I'm going to take more away with me than that. But what are you going to take away? What are you going to put in your party bag? So much. So much we've heard. I'm not even going to try and summarize it. But God can take. God can use our, what we may consider as our Sainsbury's basics. A scripture that I've been encouraged to meditate on recently. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. We need faith the size of a mustard seed. For me, an underlying message of this morning is we are partners with God, but it's actually about God. And it's about us being open to being used by God. And then he's able to do immeasurably more. What are you going to take away with you? Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters who have led us this morning, who've made us laugh, who've challenged us to think. Lord, we thank you for them. And for this time together, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you have spoken. Lord, we put into this bag the things that we want to take away with us, the things that we particularly want to take away with us today. And I pray, Lord, that as we take this bag, the birds would not come as we walk home and steal what we have put in there. The worries of the world, and the doubts in our hearts, the doubts in our minds. I pray that nothing will come and strangle these thoughts, these things that we're putting into this bag. Busyness will not overtake us. A sense of self-importance will not overtake us. But Lord, those things that we're going to take away with us today will become a part of our lives. As one of the songs that we watched said, something like, teach me to live your word. Lord, let not your word be snatched away from us today, but may it take root in our lives and produce fruit which is in keeping with the kingdom of God. For your glory's sake, we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his glorious presence over you and give you his peace. Amen.